I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. The summer travel season has officially begun, and last week, in the lead up to Memorial Day weekend, I connected with Tamara Baldanza Decker, CMO at Margaritaville, Gary Gray, Chief Investment Officer at 24/7 Hotels, and Mark Williams, CEO of Coakley Williams Hotel Management Company, to talk about how the hotel industry is ramping back up for summer leisure travelers.
So I've been hearing people across the industry say that they expect leisure travel to start rebounding faster than other types of travel. Do you agree with this assessment? And why do you think that? Let's start with Mark. What have you been seeing and hearing? And why do you think it's rebounding the way that it is?
What I've been hearing, and I think we've all been seeing a lot of, I don't think we can keep up with all the stats and the reports every day that are coming out. About leisure travel starting to rebound faster than others. From what I'm hearing from a lot of different companies is that they're not even allowing their corporate employees to travel until July or later. So I think we're seeing a lot of that. And we have a property in Orlando. I was just talking to our general manager, and we had we have 10 rooms this weekend, and some of the people that are coming in are staying because they just simply want to get out of their house. So I think we're hearing a lot of that phrase, pent up demand. So I think we are going to see people just wanting to get out and travel.
Yeah. And Mark, you're right. Here's the great news. We're all hearing it, right? We're hearing about these things. We're actually starting to see it at Margaritaville. So we've slowly started opening some of our properties, most in drive-through markets, which seems to be where people are most comfortable at this moment. And you're right, people are just, they want to get out of their house so badly. We opened up a couple of properties in the Smoky Mountains. We're selling out over the weekend already, all with leisure travel. You're also correct. I think people aren't, there are a lot of business travelers that aren't able to travel yet. But they are certainly ready to get out and they're ready to get, their kids have been pent up at home and they haven't had their spring break. So the great news is we're actually seeing this happen. We're seeing families drive to us. We're selling out in the weekends. We've got a property also opening up in Orlando this week. We're at 70% capacity there. So it's very promising.
I guess I would have to say that we've got consensus then, because we're seeing much the same thing as Tamara and Mark are seeing. If you'd asked this question 2 months ago, back in March or April, it would have been more of a speculative answer, because we were seeing, both the corporate and the leisure just bouncing along the bottom. And if you were to kind of graph it, the lines would be virtually the same. But we're starting to experience some green shoots in leisure. And I think a lot of it's a function of different states and counties starting to open up. And so the opportunity to travel is at least there for people. And for us, taking a look at our portfolio, and we're a regional operator in the Western U.S. So our portfolio is fairly concentrated, and that has some advantages. But what we're starting to see is that, and I'm going to oversimplify and call the weekends the leisure and the weekday the corporate. But if you look at the numbers for our portfolio, for 90% of our portfolio, the weekend occupancies exceed the weekday occupancies. And it's not by an insignificant margin. But again, back in March and April, that was almost indistinguishable. But for us in California, which is where we have a majority of our properties, and we're starting to get the lifting of the stay at home and all of that, we're starting to see a really kind of remarkable bounce back on the weekends. To kind of Tamara's point, we've got a number of hotels that are in kind of drive to locations that are doing quite well. In fact, we've got some in Palm Springs, which is a leisure destination that is sold out this weekend. We've got some properties on the water that are expected to be 80% occupancy, and our portfolio for this weekend is supposed to be, or is anticipated to be, above 60% in occupancy. So, look, I think another term often heard is cabin fever. I think we've all probably got it, especially if you get cooped up with kids and everybody wants to get out and do something. I think this is going to continue through the summer as you see people maybe getting more and more comfortable about venturing out. But I think it's going to be kind of people putting their toe in the water to test it a little bit. So it's getting in a car and driving, you know, kind of call it a radius of 500, 600 miles where they can have control over their travel. They can make the decisions and they can be short-term, quick decisions. They can kind of control what they're doing, when they're doing it, that kind of thing. And I think there's going to be the element of people that are fortunate enough to have jobs and be coming back to those jobs that have been, you know, kind of tied, maybe it's up in the in their homes and things now, trying to get back on the road, but they've just been kind of isolated now, and they're going to have limited opportunities to travel. So you're going to see these staycations come back. I think that's going to be a big element. And again, I think for us in California, but look, every region in the country's got their destinations to go to. We're fortunate in the West that we have four of the five top national parks. So there are going to be destinations mm-hmm. for people to drive to and experience things. And we're seeing that. We've got a property just outside of Yosemite that has been one of our portfolio leaders for a long time.
So what steps are you taking, Gary, to prepare your properties for this influx of travelers? Because has your occupancy been down? And how do you ramp back up on such short notice?
Sure, occupancy has been down, and you know we're talking about seeing improvement, and it's a bad situation that's getting slightly better, but we're still we're all hurting in this situation. But I think we, like most operators across the country, have been proactive in taking a lot of steps at the properties, both with respect to training our employees and getting them comfortable and communicating what they're supposed to be doing as we bring the guests back, but also doing things to make sure that the guests know what they're supposed to be doing and are aware of the precautions that we're taking on their behalf. So, you know, we're not distinguishing as it relates to a leisure traveler or a corporate traveler when they're coming in. It's kind of the same no matter who's coming into the hotel. We're at the, you know, kind of step one is to make sure that the employees from the GM and the executive staff at the hotels kind of know what the latest marching orders are, and that we've implemented the procedures that are required by the municipalities, by the local government, the state, and then also taking the lead from our brands, because most of our portfolio is branded. So the brands have been doing a good job of really communicating in terms of their expectations, putting out standards and communications. So it's just important that we stay on top of those so that we're, you know, kind of in compliance with those things.
Just to jump off that, one of the things we've been doing over the last 2 months or so is we've been having weekly sales and marketing calls with many of our general managers that facilitate in the function of a sales position as well as operations, but also all of our directors of sales. So we've been having active discussions on how to communicate to guests on the social media platforms as to what they can expect, as Gary mentioned. And then also what can we do to keep getting in front of this to help sell and attract leisure guests into our businesses. And you know, Gary mentioned a lot of the natural and the places that you can go visit. And so we've been trying to highlight and promote all of the local places the local natural outdoor attractions that people can come visit and see when they stay at our hotels.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in too. We've been doing the same. I think what's been critical during this time is really staying in touch with our operators, staying in touch with our sales and marketing teams. You know, as a brand, we've got a number of different ownership groups and management groups, and having them all on the same page. We've done this. We have provided them with, you know, updated cleanliness standards, and we've very comprehensive. But also communicating all that out to our guests is critically important. We want our guests to come and feel very safe, to feel like they're, you know, they're getting in their car, they're leaving their homes, they're getting in the car, so far so good. They get to our properties and they feel just as safe as they do at home, but they're escaping, they're having some fun. You know, we also have the benefit of having a number of properties, or actually all of our properties have a lot of outdoor space. So we're just naturally set up for this, you know, to welcome people back. Well, we're lucky. We didn't have to do as much. We had so much outdoor, you know, we've moved some of our tables outside. And of course we've repositioned indoor space, but we already have so much natural outdoor space people can enjoy that it's really just welcoming them back. And to Gary and Mark's point, letting our guests know that that's, you know, that we're waiting for them. We're ready when they are.
Hey, Tamara, that, you know what, that sounds great. If I wasn't so far away, you'd almost convince me to drive to one of your properties.
I love it. Anytime you're ready.
just too long a drive. Well,
I would say, you know, all of us on this phone call, we're all leisure travelers. I mean, we all are looking to get out on our next destination and vacation or whatever. And so, you know, as we've been out going to the grocery store and stuff, you feel like this element that's missing is, you know, there's just feels different. And I think, you know, we have an opportunity in our hotels and restaurants to create some familiarity for the people that come back. And we don't want to lose hospitality in the midst of that. So we need to make sure that even though we're providing all this sanitation and these barriers, that we still continue to smile through the mask and provide and care for people. And we don't lose sight of that as well.
How are you guys preparing to change processes on the fly? Because there are a lot of recommendations coming out about how to keep guests safe, how to keep employees safe. So how are you making sure that your properties are staying nimble throughout this? I mean, Tamara, let's start with you, just because your properties are so big that how can you be sure that you're able to do that quickly?
Well, I think, you know, as hoteliers, as people in the hospitality business, I think we're built to be nimble. I mean, that's what we do, right? We serve our guests. We're always bending over backwards. It's every guest, every time. So I think that's a great starting point for all of us. But obviously, this environment has changed. We're in a different climate. So really just setting up, we have a task force dedicating to make sure that we do everything as quickly as possible. We've built an online resource center for all of our partners. So they can go on anytime, day or night. They can get the latest CDC guidelines, the latest local guidelines, the latest brand guidelines. They can download branded assets. There is a hotline to call us in case something locally changes. So providing all of that structure and support for our property teams is something that we needed to do. But again, I think we're all built like, you know, this is the business that we're in. So I think, you know, we've got everything. I mean, we're ready. and the great news is our teams, and I think I'm sure that Gary and Mark will say the same thing. How ready are your teams to just start serving again? They want so badly to welcome guests back in, and whether we can give them a real hug or a virtual hug, I think they're just itching to start serving our guests and welcoming them back.
Well, I think that's just built in our DNA. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with all of that. The one, I guess, nuance that I would add to this, just from my own personal experience with 24/7 hotels, is that to some extent, your ability to react is defined by kind of who and what you were prior to going into this, because it's very difficult to kind of change hats in the middle of this pandemic. So a lot of how you're set up structurally going into things is going to determine, you know, your abilities to react in the middle of this situation. And look, maybe by good fortune, but to some degree by strategy, we're set up as a regional management company. So most of our hotels are in California. So that eliminates a lot of the extra layers of edicts and things that are coming out in terms of what you have to be monitoring and controlling. Also, we're more of a boutique operator in the sense that we have a portfolio around 25 hotels. And so the way we were set up prior to this whole calamity coming was that we had a fairly low ratio of regional support to the properties, meaning that we had each of our regionals had a smaller portfolio that they were overseeing than maybe some of the bigger management companies. So that's been an advantage going into this, because to us, the key to all of this is communication. It's going to be communication. Taking the information, as Tamara mentioned, we also have kind of a repository of all of this information that's coming in from all these different municipalities and whatnot. And you've got to be able to get through all of that and get it out to the field and get clear communication going. And so we have an advantage in that geography gives us, you know, we're not multiple time zones, we're not a whole lot of states, we're not coast to coast. So there's an advantage built into that. And then just leveraging the extra resources we have to be able to get that information on the property, I think, makes a big difference. So we've been fortunate in that situation.
I totally agree on the communication. As with sales, we've had weekly operations calls with general managers, and we're in 10 states and various different places and multiple different brands. So there's a lot of information coming from all over the place. And so we wanted to make sure it's consolidated as much as possible. And we're communicating the key elements that our teams need to know and be aware of.
Speaking of teams, Mark, can you elaborate how you're making sure your teams stay safe as more and more guests are coming into the hotel?
Again, as we've been saying, it really is about communication. We're communicating to the team leaders at the property, the key supervisors, about all the various different CDC things we need to be aware about, the new brand sanitation programs, and I don't think we want to be too quick to rush into buying all types of different equipment, but we want to be just communicating what they need to be aware of. And so that they can communicate to the line level staff as to what to expect when they come to work and everything. So it's communication.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's the punchline to that question is it is communication. I mean, if you think about this is kind of like a science fiction horror movie. When you wake up, sometimes you kind of have to say, yep, this is really happening. But we're fighting something that we can't see, and we're only starting to learn and know about. So uncertainty creates fear. It creates kind of a paralysis and a narrowing of your vision. So the more information you've got, you feel better armed, you feel safer, you feel more comfortable. And so if you can get that communicated to the staff, they feel better about their own personal situation. And, one of the things we're also trying to do is be mindful of the needs of our staff as we're growing the business back and bringing them back. We all know that the home front is very important to them. They've got kids at home. They may have elderly parents and that kind of thing, where as we bring them back, we have to be mindful that, we can work with their schedules and try and bring them back in a way that everybody continues to have that feeling of safety, because they're going to be the projectors to our guests of kind of the comfort and safety that the property is affording them.
Yeah, agreed. And, one of our guiding principles for the last 23 years has been to foster a shared responsibility for the well-being of our staff, guests, and community. So that hasn't changed. It's just the way that we're doing it has changed. So our team members, I agree with what everyone has said about communication and just, educating our staff. When our team members come back, they're going to be, each of them is getting a wellness check when they report in, not just to make sure that they're okay. And I think a lot of that is exactly what you just said. It's they've got elderly parents at home. They've got children at home. They're concerned. So we want to make sure that everybody is safe. All of our team members are being provided with appropriate safety gear for their positions, whether it's gloves, masks. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We were lucky we have this really fun brand, Margaritaville is a fun brand. So they've got bright colored masks and really fun safety gear, as fun as it can be. We've got plexiglass partitions where we need them. So really, but if someone's not feeling well, we're going to send them home. And they can come back as soon as they are well. It's deemed by a medical professional. There's never a risk of somebody losing their job, but we want to keep everybody safe. And that has been communicated. And again, I think the great thing is our teams are so ready to come back. And I think they do feel very safe coming back into Margaritaville, their home away from home.
So my last question, and I'd love all of you to take a stab at this one, is what advice do you have for hoteliers going into the summer travel season? Because it's very different in 2020 than it was even last year. Gary, do you want to start? What is the best advice you have right now?
Probably drawing from our own experience, and to some extent, you've either done this or you haven't. But I think it's critical if you can. To keep as much of your team in place. We at 24/7, kudos to the ownership group, really made an effort to ask everybody to sacrifice so that we could keep the team in place. And that's worked out really well, because as we're starting to see these green shoots coming in, as we're realizing that you have to be nimble and you have to be able to react and you have to find new sources of business, you don't want to be distracted with either trying to rehire people, find new people, train new people. You want to be able to focus on what's in front of you. So again, I would say number one would probably be try and keep your team in place. And then lastly, the second thing I guess has been the theme of this conversation is this communication, communicating first with your staff and then with your guests, because look, I'd like to say that we're kind of on the front lines, if you will. I don't want to understate what the true first responders in terms of people's health have been doing, but as it relates to opening the country again, the hospitality industry is on the front lines, right? And so how we react to the public is going to give them the sense of safety that they need to really come back and continue to venture out further and further from home. And as airline travel starts to pick up and the opportunity to travel happens, if the public feels informed and safe and we're giving them good experiences, you know, we're just going to continue to expand the demand.
I would say, you know, most importantly, you know, stay safe. Keep your community safe. Keep your teams safe. But, you know, also stay true to your brand. And I don't know who talked about it earlier, seeing a smile through somebody's mask. You can see a smile in somebody's eyes. And it's important that, you know, at Margaritaville, we continue to deliver fun and escapism, which is our mission statement. And, but we have to keep people safe. You know, our industry is vulnerable and we're in this together. So that people do feel comfortable traveling again. And, you know, but I'd say most importantly, be optimistic. Just seeing what's happening already. Even people, you know, we've had guests who have already, you know, we've had guests who've stayed with us for the last couple of weekends, and we have these exit surveys where they've all been so positive about their experience and said, oh, this was just a breath of fresh air, truly a breath of fresh air. So be optimistic, be safe, and you know, again, we're in this together. So I've got your back if you guys have ours.
You got it.
And Mark, why don't you finish us off?
Sure. I agree with the stability aspect of it and staying safe. I've been saying that, you know, safety is more than just sanitation. We can't take our eyes off of security and other elements of safety in our properties. But I would just say and add to this that hoteliers should consider, you know, continuing to put ourselves in the guest's shoes and role-playing if we have to and walking through some of these experiences because, you know, I was trying to rent a car from an airport location this week and the shuttle bus never came and it was frustrating. And I think there's going to be frustrations as we get out of this for guests trying to just get back into what they were familiar with. And so I think if we, you know, kind of walk through and role-play a little bit and experience through the guest's eyes, we might be able to tweak some things to make it a little bit better for when they do come back and keep returning to our hotels and into our properties. But I am optimistic about the future and about what we're doing and where we're going.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, everyone, for joining me today. And have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Yes, thank you. Fins up.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.